This is the playbook. Welcome, 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 welcome. We are here for takeaway of the day. I'm letting Jake set the room in Clubhouse. We're IG, TikTok, we're everywhere. And it's the Friday training, free Friday training we've been doing for over 23 years. Can you believe it? Talk about yesterday, but we've been doing this. Takeaways for the day. We want to understand and listen for what people are listening for. That's the greatest value that we have. I want everyone to check out the fourth season of our hit show, Office Hours, the TV show. And we are blessed to have our fourth season airing on Apple TV. So check it out. Email me if you want to participate in any of our shows. We have the Apple TV 2-minute drill filming in July and August. If you want to be a contestant, a spotlight, a product placement, want to come to our VIP premiere dinners, and just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you don't want to come to anything, at least email me for my free book, david@dmeltzer.com. I'll sign a book, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book. Thank you, everyone, so much. So get lined up. I want to learn what you've learned. That's the idea of what we're doing here. So load up in the comments your takeaway. Come join me as a takeaway. We'd love to know what you've learned this past week, and the questions are coming in as well. But give me your takeaways as well. Here we go. We'll start off with my takeaway for the week. And I'm actually going to read it off because I had to write it down. My takeaway is that perception has its own focus. So beyond understanding how gratitude impacts our perception, finding the light, the love, the lessons in it, perception itself has its own focus. And this is where guys like Landry and Wayne Dyer came up with change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, because not only does perception have its own focus, but it gives meaning and consistency to everything that you see. And so when we realize that our perception has its own focus, and that is which gives meaning and consistency to everything we see, perception gives focus. And it's where Landry and Wayne Dyer came up with change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Perception has its own focus, and your perception, how you find the light, the love, and the lessons is and gives that focus. And that allows you to have the consistency and meaning in everything that you see. And so when we look for things in other people, when we have a focus that's based off of our perception of someone, something, some circumstance, this is the catalyst to manifestation, because it gives the meaning and consistency to what we see in others, what we see in those circumstances, what we see in those events, opportunities, options, touches, a favor, whatever it may be. So perception is a focus, is my takeaway, Jake, and it's going to change the way I look at things. Again, I thought perception was just something I participated in. I didn't know it had the consistency of that meaning that provided a catalyst to the manifestation or materialization of what I wanted from people, places, things, et cetera. Anyway, Jake, go ahead. Let's take on the first takeaway. And I got tons of them rocking and rolling all over the place.
All right, let's do it. Let's start here on Clubhouse. Let's bring up Gigi. Gigi, if you want to unmute yourself and share your takeaway of the week, welcome.
Hello, happy Friday. I hope you enjoyed Canada and Collision.
I did.
One of my biggest takeaway is in every religion or symbolic thing, there's a symbolic death, the death of the flesh, which is something you talk about. Is like, don't attach yourself to outcome. And I heard this so often, but it just clicked for me. It's like, you need to do that symbolic death every day. Like, don't attach to material things or to an outcome or to anything like that. And that's how things come to you. So that's my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway. And I think some people struggle with the pragmatic world, with the flesh, with the embodiment. And if you go way back, Gigi, all the way back to Sanskrit, right, the first rule of being human there's 12 rules of being human way back thousands and thousands of years ago before they had writing. They only had Sanskrit. But the first rule of being human is you are given a body. And understanding the body itself in the construct of dying or death, because our ego is based off of protecting the body, right? If you believe like I do, if you believe in an infinite unified system of thought, then the body itself is something that is a vessel to carry us on this journey. And we want to take care of our vessel so we can not only enjoy the journey more, but have a longer journey. But the body, the flesh, is just a vessel to carry us on that journey. And we can experience and learn more lessons if we take care of that vessel, if we take care of that body. But more importantly than understanding taking care of our bodies is understanding the relativity that it has to the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that we belong to, this omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source of energy that we belong to that protects and promotes us. But counterintuitive to that is we've been given a protection mechanism to the flesh. And originally, it was defined, as Freud defined it, as the need to feed the body, the need to fight if someone attacks the body, or flee if someone attacks the body, or recreate more bodies. This is the simple fact of the ego and how it was created or co-created in order to protect the flesh. And now that we have evolved with so many modalities and methodologies and mechanisms in order to protect the body, the ego, you know, doesn't have to worry about dinosaurs running by our cave or freezing to death, or in most cases, and all the other things that put our body into the fight, feed, flee, or fornicate mode. And so now there's this confusion between the unified infinite system of thought and the body, because somebody hurt us, but not with a club. They didn't hurt us with a sword, with a hammer, with fire, with cannonballs. They hurt our feelings. And now the body, which doesn't have its main primary perception of focus on dinosaurs and clubs and fires and antiquated fears that helped us to evolve to the point where somebody hurt my feelings because of what they said, or what we perceive they think of us, or because we don't feel worthy. And now the ego takes on a feeding mechanism of addiction, or a fighting mechanism of, you know, attacking others with judgment, which are only opinions based on ignorant and fear, ignorant and doubt. And so I think it's a great takeaway to not only understand the death of the vessel, the crashing of the vessel, the injury of the vessel, the body, but also to look at the focus of the perception of what it is that we're afraid of and what ego-based consciousness we're prescribing to that fear, fear of the past or fear of the future. And if we can work on that construct, and if we can work on the reconciliation between the fear of death of our vessel, the end of our journey of our vessel, comparatively to what we have as far as power goes, information goes, in a unified, abundant, infinite system of thought, that we can actually enjoy the journey of the body almost to the level that we could enjoy the journey without the body. And I think it's a great lesson and takeaway to start unraveling the layers of the onion, to raise your awareness to how we can achieve a fulfilling, passionate, purposeful, profitable journey with the vessel that we've been given. Good place to start, Jake. What do you think?
incredible place to start. I think that was a phenomenal first takeaway of the week by Gigi.
What's your takeaway of the week? You were at Collision with me. What was your takeaway? You probably talked to 1,000 people this week. You listened to tons of speeches, masterminds, meetings, meetups, classes, VIP dinners, preparing for their launch of the TV show today. What was your takeaway for the week?
Yeah, I had two main takeaways, I think. I think A is just the power of community and building an audience that is there for you no matter what. And the importance of growing and building a community. And the second is, if there's no risk, there's no reward. You really have to put yourself out there in order to get to where you want to be. So those are my main two takeaways being at Collision this week.
Yeah, you know, I'm proud of you because I think, you know, you've been with me a while since you graduated college. And Gary Vee made the big mistake of giving you to me. But more importantly, it's interesting because you can see the impact of timing and risk tolerance in the aspect of community. And people don't realize that building a community, whatever that may be, you don't have to publish videos every day to build a community. But you could be a baseball coach for Little League. That can build a community. But what is your timing and risk tolerance, which is applicable to every investment in your life? And how is that creating the energy, the frequency of your community, which has three characteristics of energy, which is, how is my community aggregating? How is it exponentially growing? And how is it accelerating in that growth? And if we focus in on what your takeaway was, which is the timing and risk tolerance in the perception or alignment of building a community in person, on the phone, via emails, media, traditional or social, that we are going back to the entire co-creation process of polis, of community, and that this collective consciousness carries far more weight than an individual consciousness that is participating and co-creating in the collective. So I think you're getting the mission of the company, as you've been here long enough, of this is how we empower others to empower others to be happy by creating a collective consciousness, notating the timing and risk tolerance that it takes to empower over a billion people, and focusing in on growing that community, aggregating it, exponentially growing it, and accelerating that growth. I'm proud of you, brother. Thank you so much. Put him on the spot, and he came through with a home run. Thank you, Jake. Who wants to come through with the next home run, Jake?
Thank you, Dave. Yes. Let's get the next home run here on Clubhouse from Jonathan Cook. Jonathan, if you want to unmute yourself and share your takeaway of the week. Welcome, Jonathan.
Man, this has been a great week. I have so many notes from this week. I probably just want to, it was touched on so much, but just say thank you for bringing back up the word synergy this week, where 1 + 1 = 11. And I tell you what, we have so many winners in this group. The power when we all lock arms together. I just had this visualization this week of just an army of locked arms people all going in one general direction together with a goal of growth. So that's it. Mine's simple this morning. Thank you guys for all you do. I'm absolutely addicted to it. I've been in here almost 2 years. So
thank you guys for all you do. No, thank you for showing up. We want to hear from everyone. And I know there's been people that have been in here for years, and we're part of a community. I want to change or give you my perception of locking arms, because it used to be the picture that I thought of is a circle and everybody holding hands. But my new depiction or illustration of locking arms is one of my arms is reaching up high to ask for help for those people who sit in a situation that I want to be in. Everyone has their own skills and knowledge. And as we share our desire to create a delta, to grow and to accelerate aggregate exponentially together, we need to lock arms above us. But also the other hand is reaching behind us and pulling a seat up at the table, which is the primary purpose of Breakfast of Champions, to give people a seat at the table, to have you step up and to have a seat at the table, to share the wisdom that you're receiving that resonates with you every single week. And so when we lock arms, the illustration or depiction of that is not one of a circle, everybody holding hands, but one of all of us reaching up to people who sit in a situation that we want to be in and reaching behind us in the continual perspective of the Breakfast of Champions, reaching behind us to pull a seat up to the table, to have someone sit with us. So locking arms to me has a different picture, perception in my mind. And I want to thank you so much for showing up and illustrating that for all of us. This is a great room, a great collective consciousness. And I want to thank everyone that's been here for years. As they say, don't even call it a comeback. We've been here for years. Thank you so much. What a great reminder of what we're here for in the Breakfast of Champions, to make sure that we're asking for help from others and also pulling a seat up to the table. All right, everyone. Jakey Bakey, why don't you reset the room? Remind everyone that we have our premiere on Apple TV today of Office Hours, the TV show, fourth season. We're filming 2-Minute Drill, where you can win $50,000 of cash and prizes. We'll be filming that in July and August. All you got to do is email us, david@dmeltzer.com. I'll also, anyone that emails me and wants a book, sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping in the book. Jake, reset the room.
Resetting the room here. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for sharing that with the room here at the Breakfast with Champions. It is 9:18 Eastern time, 6:18 Pacific time. We got 42 minutes left on David Meltzer's hour here. Today's topic is your takeaway of the week. So if you have a takeaway of the week that you'd like to share, just raise your hand. You're on Clubhouse or back channel me and we will aim to bring you up. Also, yes, wanted to mention today is the big premiere of David's show, Office Hours. It is season 4 that is airing tonight on Apple TV. We got incredible guests like Gary Vee, Sadhguru, Deepak Chopra, all incredible people, and the one and only, of course, Glenn Lundy, too. So if you want to check that out, email David. David's email is david@dmeltzer.com, david@dmeltzer.com. We will send you all the links and everything that you need. As mentioned, we got 41 minutes left here. Also, as well, David's show, 2-Minute Drill, actually, will be filming in July and August. So if anyone would like to attend that, even be on the show as well, just reach out to David. Also, we always love the Breakfast with Champions community and would love to feature you as well. So let's continue with these takeaways, incredible takeaways so far. Let's bring up Justin here on Clubhouse. Justin, what's your takeaway of the week today?
Hey, good morning and happy Friday, everyone. Yeah, I have two, like Jake. One is a very pragmatic one. Evan Carmichael at the VIP dinner you hosted this week, Dave, shared a really, I thought, you know, simple but great strategy of reminding yourself to follow up with people every 90 days. And as easy as it sounds, as you always say, the easy things, the simple things are simple sometimes not to do. And so for me, it was a really just kind of enlightening moment of, hey, it's just easy to create a spreadsheet or a table in Notion or some other software to say every 90 days, just, I need to follow up with these people and just check in and say, hey, how you doing? Anything I can help you with? Really just extend an arm of service. And so that for me was just a really practical, pragmatic takeaway. More on the other side is, you know, Dave, working with you the last 10 years, for me, I get so focused sometimes on the data and what the data is telling us. And really this week, it was a really, really good reminder of the data will never tell you what's actually happening. And so, you know, I think seeing for me firsthand, it's been a little while since I've traveled with you, of all the people who have come up to you and said, you know, what a video or something you've said that really changed their life. You know, one guy said, hey, you're just telling me to go up to people and say, hey, do you know anyone who can help me? Dramatically changed this guy's life. And so for me, it was just a really reminder of stop getting so focused on what the data, because the KPIs and the reports will never, ever actually tell you what's going on. And so really it's, you need to lift your head up and interact with people and engage with the community one-on-one and find out what it is that's impacting people, because those become your marketers. Those become the people that share your message. And those at the end of the day are the people that are going to help you empower over 1 billion people to be happy. So for me, it was that reminder of, hey, stop focusing so much on the data and actually focus on the impact you're having on people.
That's great, Justin. And thank you as well. Always making me proud as Jake. It's so fun to watch people evolve. And I'm going to touch on both of the things that you talked about. First, the simple things to do are simple not to do. One of the takeaways that I got from Evan Carmichael's list, and he said it went from 100 to about 300 people, and he utilizes his executive assistant in order to facilitate making sure that he reaches out on Instagram or text just saying, hey, buddy, what's up? And making sure every 90 days he's hitting those lists of people. Well, for me, I do the exact same thing in a different way. And then his advice is enhancing what I already do. See, I'm a time person, as you know, so time's the dependent variable of all matter for me. Time, I give a minimum amount of time every day or every other day or whatever periodic session that I'm necessary in order to facilitate what I want or think is important in the trajectory of what I think I want in the future or better. But more importantly, I realize, wow, I spend a minimum of 10 minutes a day, every day, 7 days a week, reaching out to people that are relative to me, family, friends, associates that I haven't talked to in a while. But what a great enhancement to the minimum of 10 minutes that I'm not just calling the same people within the context, that I can expand that by being more intentional, by having a list of, you know, 1,000 people that I go down and check off. And then I can also prioritize that list. So within the context, I won't use 90 days because I'll use every day. Within the context of looking down the list of 1,000 people, that I want to make sure that every person gets checked off. But some of those people need to be checked off 2 or 3 times within 90 days. And some of those people maybe only have to be checked off once a year. So by integrating other people's processes into what's best for me, right? Some people aren't daily people. Some people don't stay on the grid every single day, don't vacation every day either. And that's fine. I had a Zen guy yesterday tell me that today's his day of Zen, meaning the last day of every month, he goes off the grid and he evaluates what happened last month and what's going to happen next month. I think that's super cool, but it's not me, right? I'm a daily guy. And so I want everyone to incorporate these takeaways into their own lives and make them their own to enhance, accelerate, aggregate, exponentially provide outcomes for yourself. So that's the first comment that I have on the first simple thing to do, that's simple not to do, to stay in touch with people that we haven't been in touch to that are relative to who we are. Then I want to talk about data. Data is one variable. It's one variable, but it doesn't tell everything, especially according to the trajectory of what you think you want or better. And so data may, number one, be inaccurate, and two, it may not be important enough to effectuate what you think you want or better. So for me, in my perception of what I want to do, right, I want to create a community of people who help each other and know people who can help each other. I want to empower 1,000 people or more to empower 1,000 people or more to empower 1,000 people or more to make a lot of money, help a lot of people and have a lot of fun, to live in abundance, because I believe that's one form of happiness. And I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money, helps a lot of people and has a lot of fun in their lives that isn't happy. And I'm good at all three of those things. I'm good at all three of those things. I have the skills, the knowledge, and the desire to empower others to do so. That community that I want to build is something over a decade now, Justin, that we've been together, that you being driven by data and being hyper analytic and super valuable as well to provide me a variable that I can utilize in order to incorporate into my mission, into my perception of that community. But there's been many times over the last 10 years that you would ask me, well, I don't understand that decision. Like, how are you evaluating? Well, because I'm the only one who has the most constant data and feedback about community. Everybody else has a silo. They have a limited amount of data. But I'm aggregating all the data of everyone around me, my family, my associates, my partners, the relativity of my community. And, you know, as it grew, we can see that impact. And as time evolved, we can see people that say 6 years ago, I was sitting in my parents' basement, bankrupt, broke, high, and I heard you plant a seed that inspired me. And I wanted to come here today to give you this gift, to thank you because you changed my life. But not everybody sees that. And you know that now. And that's why I try to include everyone I can into the VIP dinners and the premiere parties and the filmings and anywhere I can, the meetups and the masterclasses and the mentorship hours and all of the things that we do is, to me, the, you know, perception or aggregate of my impact and in alignment with my trajectory. So data is important, but it's only one variable, because the data that you're talking about is not the aggregate of all data that I'm analyzing, When someone tells me something, that's data. When I read something in the Course of Miracles, that's data. When my wife gives me feedback, that's data. And so we all are the aggregate of the data that we see, or what I call information, right? So for me, sleeping provides me a download. Besides recovery, it's accessing info for the next day. And then I'm supposed to put it into motion, which creates the information that I need for the day. I'm so proud of both Jake and Justin, not only for being up early and helping us here today, but for the lessons that they're learning along the way in the journey of being such integral and important parts of my team. Thank you both you guys for showing up, and everyone is benefiting from that as well. Jake, who's up next? We got a ton around, so just let me know where to go.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Dave. Let's bring up the one and only Glenda, who actually was just with us at Collision. Glenda, welcome to the clubhouse.
Oh, thank you so much. And it was an absolute pleasure to be with you guys this week. And so many downloads that have happened to me. And David, you actually have been a change in my life. And this week even turned even more changes. So you talk about the simplest things to do, and I've tried to keep it on, but now I'm going to actually put it out there to my group of people of just the easiest, simple thing of every morning and every night to say thank you. And from what life has really taught me throughout the times of all the times I've been knocked down, for every knockdown, there has been something to be always so grateful for. And I hold on to that deep in my heart. But we tend to forget that time when it's a little difficult to still say thank you. So I will continue through the next 90 days instead of 30 of every morning and every night to say thank you. And I will put post-it notes up around me to remind me to say thank you for everything, for the fact of being able to walk, to be able to breathe, and to be able to maybe be of service to whoever I can. And the other huge takeaway that I had this week is to turn around and ask, because throughout my life I've been a giver and never been able to ask and be able to take. I grew up being a giver, and it's been one of the hardest things in my life is to ask for others, and always thinking that I'm a burden to others to ask. So thank you for giving me this huge takeaway, and for having the kindness that you do have and the love in your heart that you give so many, and for allowing me to actually reach out and ask. That's my takeaway. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And it's so funny that you brought up gratitude first, because I'm watching. We have been blessed to have over 80,000 people that have registered for training now. Used to be a few people, at least Steinberg's office in Orange County, that I buy lunch for. And I'm still trying to figure out how to buy all these people lunch that show up. But there's amazing in the comments how many people, gratitude is my takeaway, gratitude, 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 gratitude. And yet everyone learned gratitude by the time they're three. And like you said, we have to pay more attention to, be more of this aware of the simple things to do. And gratitude still has the most impact of anything. It takes 0.1 seconds to say thank you, to think thank you, to do something grateful. It's free. And so I want to reiterate that as well. And then the second takeaway is more obsequious, right? It's not as obvious as gratitude, but it is one in which most people, including me, have difficulty for some portion of the day. Some people it's all day, every day. Some people it's minutes and moments. But you have to be able to receive. You cannot give more, Glenda, with less. And that's what I tell myself all the time, that if I truly have the intention to be of service and of value, what service and value can I give if I'm feeble, weak, broke, high, sick, you know, lying around dreaming about shit? That's not going to do it. So I can't give more with less motivates me to ask for help, ask to receive, and then allow the appreciation and acknowledgement of giving it away or having it lost, stolen, manipulated, or cheated from me even. They all bring great lessons. You know, I see when people cheat me, steal from me, manipulate me. It's just a different form of giving with bigger lessons. I don't like it because I have an ego that protects me and a need to be offended, you know, a need to be separate or superior, inferior. But look, let's be honest. There's no difference when someone steals something from you than if you've given it away. They obviously need it more than you. And if your intention is to be of service and of value, who cares? Who cares? Like literally, if you are in the habit of receiving, you shouldn't care how you acknowledge it, because acknowledgement, acquiring the knowledge of something after you've appreciated it, you cannot acquire the knowledge of anything until it's not there anymore. That's the only time we acquire the knowledge of it. So I'd like to give it away with my own intention, but sometimes I lose things. Sometimes they're stolen from me, manipulated or cheated from me. And it's just an acknowledgement, but it doesn't work unless I ask for more. I still receive the expansion through the acknowledgement and the appreciation, but the system doesn't work to be at peace when someone, you lose something or you have it stolen, manipulated, or cheated from you, whatever your perception is. Loss is loss, whether you give it away or someone intentionally takes it from you. If you don't have receivership in your repertoire, it hurts. But if you have receivership in your repertoire, knowing giving, receiving, and witnessing, giving and receiving are one, it doesn't hurt at all, right? It's just acknowledgement. And so I love that takeaway. I love you, Glenda, for showing up at Collision and being such a great participant in the collective consciousness. You brought so much to the table. You know, we had all these extraordinary people like Glenda. We've had from, you know, the lady from Gossip Girl and you know, Shane Battier from the NBA and Evan Carmichael and, you know, Joe Tolzman and I'm just losing track. Rhett Powers was there from Forbes. And there's just, the list was too long of the people that were extraordinary. And it's just a collective consciousness, a frequency in a neighborhood that I want everyone to join. And so I encourage everyone, as Glenda has, to show up and to participate in a community of people who want to help each other and know people who can help each other. Thank you, Glenda. We love you. We hope to see you soon. All right, Jake.
All right, Dave, let's do it. Thank you again, Glenda. You are incredible. If anyone here doesn't know Glenda, I highly suggest connecting with Glenda. She is incredible. Dave, let's continue to move on with this takeaway of the week. It's been incredible so far. Thank you everyone for sharing. We got 26 minutes here. We got a lot of people that want to share there. So just want to maximize the time here and get as many people as possible. So next up, let's bring up Justin Conico. Justin, if you want to unmute yourself and share your takeaway of the week.
Yeah, Jakey Bakey. Thank you, my man. You know, David, I'm going to take a complete left turn with my commentary here. And I mean, our friendship goes back a couple years now. You graced, you know, my podcast. And there's something you told me when you shared your story on my podcast that completely shifted my perspective. So I, quote unquote, lost a $12 million deal when in reality, it was the best thing that ever happened to me this year. But it was all perspective because the person that I chose not to work with or didn't align with where I was going with my business actually saved me quite a bit of time and money and allowed me to go find new opportunities. So A, I wanted to thank you for that. But more than that, I think the way that you show up in the world is an active indicator of success. Data is a latent indicator of success and a roadmap, but the gratitude piece of how you pour into friends of mine like Levi Lotsek and other people that I see what you give instead of taking something from you today or having you pour into my cup. I wanted to ask you, is there something, an action item that every person here today can do with people they meet today that you would love for us to do to pour more gratitude into the world?
Oh, yeah. There's actually two simple things. And the first is, and it's something that I do if I don't know what to do, if I have a few moments, is I reach out to someone or go out to someone and make sure that they know they're not alone. So that is what we need. Just remind someone, hey, you're not alone, right? You're part of this community. And whether they're the homeless person, you know, on the street sleeping, or a person that you're working with, or a family member, you know, reach out today, however you can, and let them know they're not alone. The second one is to pick up a piece of trash. I just imagine if the whole world got into the habit of when they see trash, they pick it up and they put it into a proper place. And so I know it was funny because for my birthday, my wife asked me, we walk every day together that we're together. And she asked me what I wanted. And I wanted those trash pokers. And she's like, what are you, 90? You know? And I said, no, right. I want my grandchildren to have a place to feel good about living their vessel journey, et cetera. But imagine if everyone in the world, if you told everyone by showing them, stopping for a second when you see a cup, a McDonald's wrapper, a bag, a beer can, and just picked it up and took the time to put it in an appropriate place. So please, everyone, if you want to have an impact, if you're looking for something to do for me, I always say share my content and do good deeds, but I have a feeling everybody in here is part of that community already. So go tell someone they're not alone, make them feel part of that community, and two, pick up a piece of trash. I promise you we could have a collective good with that. So thank you for asking, Justin, and thank you for showing up as well. That's all I have to say, Jake. Go ahead, reset the room or next.
Thank you for sharing, Justin. Let's bring up our next guest. Let's bring up Colleen next to share her takeaway of the week. Welcome, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. I loved that last takeaway and just act of service. My takeaway this week was really understanding, you've been talking a lot about this intention piece. And so understanding the difference between the intention and the expectation of not just your communication style, but what you're asking for. Really going out and asking for help there. So I loved understanding both the difference between intention and expectation this week. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because people lie. And they lie to themselves. Therefore, there's incongruency between their intention and their expectation, whether it's what they think, do, say, believe, or feel. There has to be alignment between intention and expectation. And so many times there's an incongruency there. And so what happens is that separation or incongruency causes a impact or a effect or a affect that's not intended, but yet aligned with an expectation. And so if we can align our intentions and our expectations previous to what we do, say, think, believe, and feel, and if that alignment is also in a trajectory of what we think we want or better, then we can achieve much more of the energy aggregation, the energy exponentiality, and the energy acceleration that we are intending and expecting. And so I think it's a next layer understanding and awareness to understand intention. First, most people are working on, just to take a step back, attention, right? And so they have vision boards, they have all types of attention activities, about if I focus on this house, I'll get this house. If I focus it on this job, I'll get this job. Yes. And the reason that that will happen, but not as statistically successful, if you put your intention and align your expectations with that intention, is because you're only doing part and parcel of intention by focusing in on it. Because attention plus intention, what we do, say, think, believe, and feel, aligned with our expectations and aligned in a trajectory of what we think we want or better, is truly the entire formula, what I call the mathematical equation of luck, karma, coincidence. The universe will coincide with the focus, the attention, and the intention aligned with the expectations and the trajectory of what we think we want or better. And that formulatic approach has been extremely successful in my life. And the more understanding I have of it, as you unravel those layers, Colleen, you'll see there is a lot of aggregation, exponentiality, acceleration, and aligned with what I call gratitude of the future. How do we define gratitude of the future? It's called faith. Gratitude of the path is appreciation. It adds value to finding the light, the love, and the lessons in our past. but gratitude of the future is faith that there's something bigger than us that loves us more than our mom, that's protecting and promoting us, giving us everything we want or better. We may just be too stupid to realize it was better, like the $12 million deal that Justin lost. But I promise you, as we unravel in your time, it will reveal itself as being better. The same as even my bankruptcy of losing over $100 million has unraveled itself and revealed itself of being a better outcome than keeping all my money at that time. All right, Jake, we got about, 17 minutes, 18 minutes left. Go ahead. Do you want me maybe to take one takeaway online? Because I got like hundreds here and I don't want to ignore the seminar people. With all those people, but I love the interaction on Clubhouse. Is that fair, Jake?
That sounds good. And when you're back, we'll bring up Denver Rook.
All right, perfect. So this is my takeaway: is the optimist's creed. Now I'm a top optimist, the top of optimists. So I had to read this one. Promise yourself nothing can disturb your peace of mind. So spend minutes and moments in interference. Talk health, happiness, and prosperity. Say what you want in a trajectory of what you think you want or better. Make others think there is something worthwhile in them. Let them know they're not alone, that you love them, that you're proud of them, and you always have their back. Look at the sunny side of everything. Utilize gratitude as a lens to find the light, the love, and the lesson in everything. Work for, look for, and expect the best. That means that you do say, think, believe, and feel in a trajectory of the best, your potential. Clap onto the success of others. Elevate others to elevate your success. Celebrate everything celebratable. Be a celebrant, not a celebrity. Press on to the promise of the future. Move on from the past. Give the meaning of the past that you want in the trajectory of your future. The only thing that will limit your future is your own self-image. You never will overachieve your own self-image. Give a smile to every living creature you meet. Oh, what a powerful tool that is. Not only will you provide dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins to the person you're smiling at, but it also will occur for you and anyone that witnesses you smiling at every living creature you meet. Giving, receiving, and witnessing that smile will provide the dose of happiness that we're looking for. Finally, in this creed of optimists, be too large for worry, too noble for anger. Stop, drop, and roll, understanding what we want in the trajectory of what we think we want. Spend minutes and moments in fear. Remind yourself of the first takeaway. Be the vessel that you want to be. Interpret and know how fear is helping you understand where and indicate where you don't want to be. All right. I love that. Jake, go ahead. Let's bring up our next friend.
Let's do it. Let's bring up Danny Rock. If you can unmute yourself, there we are. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Yes, this is Amy Rob. Good morning, Reps for the Champions, David and Jake. This is a great conversation, as always. And David, you know, when we talk about the brain and like these dopamine hits, I feel like I've been a dopamine chaser all my life. And recently, you know, I've been working with my inner child. So I would definitely say my takeaway today is about, you know, don't, you know, let the battered inner child hold you hostage. And what just came to mind was when you were talking about the dopamine, it's like it all comes down to the brain. And, you know, I realized that my traumatized, you know, inner child, maybe, you know, it's been playing tricks on me, right? And so I understand now that my brain is just protecting itself from the things that, you know, that might potentially harm me. So, you know, the fear, you know, so that's, you know, that's one of the things that's protecting me from is the fear. And so even when it's the false evidence appearing real, you know, our brain still acts to protect us. And so finding ways to just hijack hijack that fear by understanding that our brain will do what it takes to protect us because it's, you know, a primitive brain. But we can, just by being aware that it's doing that, we can look at our fear and realize that, oh, it's okay. The brain is just protecting us. But, you know, take my hand, inner child, and let's walk together because, you know, don't let the battered inner child hold you hostage. And so that's my takeaway. Thank you for being here as always. I'm grateful for you.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for showing up. And I have a little exercise for everyone when we're talking about our inner child that has helped me in this perspective. And so for me, I will go and close my eyes, go through the top of my head and find where I am inside myself. And when you try and practice this exercise, it's really funny. The first time that I did it, I found myself in my stomach and there I was, and I notated the age I was, and I was 5. And, you know, the person who showed me this exercise and talked me through, close your eyes, breathe, picture yourself entering the top of your hypothalamus into your head and look for yourself. And there I was at 5 years old in my own stomach. And then talk to yourself. Hey, what's the matter? Well, notating that when I was 5, my dad left and I feel responsible for my mom. And I'm at fault for my dad leaving. And this conversation that I had with my 5-year-old self to start to heal some of that brain work of fight, feed, flee, or fornicate that is based off of an inner child, of an interpretation of a past event, to be able to change the meaning of my past from one of punishment to one of protection and promotion, to tell myself I'm not responsible, I'm 5 years old, seems silly as an old man. But it was extremely beneficial and impactful in my life. And I continue to search for my inner child when I feel separation, when I feel the ego-based consciousnesses, when I don't feel right, when I feel interference, as you say, that false evidence appearing real. When I feel that, I often journey outside of myself, back inside of myself, and look for the inner child that sits in my heart, in my stomach, wherever it may appear, at whatever age it is. And somehow the human body contains this consciousness at the age and issues that we can heal to help clear the interference between us and the all-powerful, omniscient, almighty, all-knowing, unified infinite system of thought. So a little bit of an exercise there. And then as far as dopamine goes, I think dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins are God's doggy biscuits. I do. I really believe that. And I think it's an indication to keep doing and behaving in that way when we receive those four things, a dose of happiness, I call it. And so, you know, when we give, boom, keep giving. When we receive, boom, keep receiving. When we witness it or are aware of giving and receiving, boom, more of it. And so I also think that there's, you know, the other side, you know, God's rolling up a newspaper and slapping us on our tail with cortisol. Hey, stop doing drugs. Here's some cortisol. Stop eating improperly. Here's some cortisol. Stop treating your body this way. Stop talking to yourself this way. Here's some cortisol. And so I see, you know, as a co-creator, a mechanism for the body, that these doses of happiness and doses of inflammation or disease, doses of ease and doses of disease, I could articulate it probably better, are simply God or whatever you believe in way of saying, continue this behavior and stop this behavior. And we are blessed to have those indicators for all of us. So just two little comments on an extraordinary takeaway for all of us that can benefit from it. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. Jake, go ahead, reset the room for the last 9 minutes.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you for those questions online. We got 9 minutes here for the takeaway of the week training here on Clubhouse and all social media channels. Let's we'll quickly reset the room. We got 8 minutes now. Let's bring up the next question to maximize as much time as possible. Let's bring up Akshay here on Clubhouse. Akshay, if you want to unmute yourself and ask David, or actually share your takeaway of the week, welcome.
Thank you. My takeaway of the week has just been practicing gratitude in the form of just thanking everyone who's been helping me through my academic journey. And that's been wonderful. And I had a question related to that on how and if you could share how we can or how I can improve expressing gratitude in a way that comes from my intrinsic motivation to do so, not to do it for the dopamine effects of feeling good about myself, but doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Well, first of all, it's not just for yourself, right? So when you do good, other people benefit from it and receive the same dopamine, and those who witness it receive the same. So this egocentric perspective of doing good is not, to me, the collective of what actually happens. And anything that we want to amplify requires practice. Now, for me, I apply the common denominator of all matter, subjective and objective matter, time. So when I want to pay attention to and give intention to something to create the coincidences, the consequences, the karma in my life, I create a time spot every day for that, and I create a minimum amount of time that I'm going to spend on that. So a minimum of an hour a day on my health, a minimum of time with my people that are relative to us, my wife, my mom, my kids, my cousins, whoever it may be, a minimum amount of time studying time, which includes a minimum amount of time for gratitude, forgiving, receiving, and witnessing giving and receiving. I'm conscious about surrounding myself with the right people, the right ideas, the gracious people, and the gracious ideas, so that I am receiving by witnessing as well, and reading the right things, and listening to the right books, and watching the right podcasts and TV shows. That's why we create so much content. It is a complete community of goodness. And we can do well by doing good. And I want you to be very intentional with your daily practices of doing good. And gratitude, finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everything is one of those key components, common denominators of goodness and wellness that you can do. And it's not selfish. It's not just for you. Giving, receiving, and witnessing are one. You cannot give to nobody. You cannot do good deeds to nobody. There's a receiver and witnesses when you do good. When you pick up trash, there is a receiver and there is a witness of it. Somewhere along the line, someone's picking up the recycling bin and witnessing, holy shit, thousands of people have done good. Wow. And they receive the doggy biscuit of happiness. So put into context the collective consciousness that you're part of, whether it's giving, receiving. This is the basis of why people don't receive, because they feel selfish if they receive something and they only see, hey, you know, I'm just giving for myself, and that's selfish. You know what I mean, receiving, what can I do? No, it's all one. We got about 5 minutes left. Great question, and thank you, Akshay, I appreciate it. Remember, everybody, email me, david@dmelcher.com. Today is the premiere of Office Hours, a TV show, fourth season. We're filming season 5 of 2-Minute Drill. Be a part of it. Come out and watch. Come to the dinners. Come and be on the show. Win some money. Win some prizes. Meet some extraordinary people. I mean, we've had everyone from Cameron Diaz to Tillman Fertitta to Brett Favre to Alex Hormozi, Gary V, Ed Milet, Tom Bilyeu, Joe Dispenza. I mean, it's incredible. We're actually doing a dinner with Joe Dispenza in August as well in Santa Barbara. There's so many different things going on. Participate in this community in person. It doesn't have to be virtually. These people, you hear people that come out and it takes it to the next level of community. So we'd love to see you. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you can't get there, though, I'd love to send you any of the exercises, guides, and, of course, my book. I will sign my book, send it to you, pay for the book and shipping. Please just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. We'd love to have you participate. All right, Jake, we got 3 minutes. Last takeaway. Let's make it happen.
All right, last takeaway. Let's bring up Mike here on Clubhouse. Welcome, Mike, if you want to unmute yourself.
Everyone, good morning.
Good morning, Mikey.
Good morning. My takeaway is the importance of giving up control and really relying and diving into the importance of delegating to allow others to grow. And when doing so, it's really inspiring to see and get feedback from those that fulfill those roles and seeing how much they appreciate you and the impact and obviously the trust for them to kind of take the reins and take that next step. So I didn't realize how good it would feel rather than I think some people like myself experience like anxiety of control and lack and the delegating part of it as well. But it's inspiring to get that feedback back from those and the impact that's been in their life. The role that I've had. So it's inspiring both ways. So it's a huge lesson for me this week.
I love it, Mikey. And you know, it's interesting because giving control has the word giving in it. And giving is an investment, and investments require timing and risk tolerance. So I want everyone to notate when we give up control of certain matters, professional and personal, trust me, when you, teach your daughters to drive, you're giving up control, and you're giving up control and putting your life in their hands. It's probably the most terrifying giving up control that I've ever done in my life. And I had to have a time. And if you knew my oldest daughter, you'd know what I'm talking about. Terrifying. Or Jake, by the way, giving up control of the wheel to Jake is equal to my oldest daughter. He actually crashed into a parked car once just pulling into a spot. I'm talking about serious timing and risk tolerance that's involved. So I want everybody to think about, it's great to give up control, but do a timing and risk tolerance analysis, elevate others. Don't give up too much control where you can have too much risk or too much of an investment in something that's not necessary. So it's great to give up control, but it's important to have a timing and risk tolerance analysis combined with it. And yes, we want to elevate and empower others to elevate and empower others. That's the mission we're on, to make people happy, to teach them 1,000 people or more, to teach 1,000 people or more, to teach 1,000 people or more, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. All right. We have run out of time once again here. Once again, join us today, the premiere of season 4, The Hit Show Office Hours on Apple TV. It's at the airports and hotel rooms as well. You'll see us at your gate as you travel this summer. You'll see all the extraordinary guests. Come out and meet these people. July and August, we're filming 2-Minute Drill season 5 on Apple TV as well. Please get a book, exercise, guide. All you got to do to get engaged with the community is email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Remember, be more interested than interesting. Reach out. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.